There is at least one area this election season in which there appears to be some agreement between the two presidential candidates. Listen to this.
We will put Americans to work, building and modernizing our roads, our bridges, our tunnels, our railways, our ports, our airports.
We will build the next generation of roads, bridges, railways, tunnels, seaports, and airports. That, believe me, folks, is what our country deserves.
Wow, pretty similar. That was, of course, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton speaking last week in their big economic speeches about infrastructure spending, both promising to spend tens of billions of dollars on infrastructure. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from New York, as he does each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Jamie.
Well, let's go through these very similar ideas here. First, to Hillary Clinton's plan, she promised to spend $275 billion over 5 years to improve infrastructure. What would that plan do? How would she pay for it?
That's right, $275 billion in the next 5 years to repair the roads and bridges and airports that she mentioned, and also $25 billion in government seed funding to invest in private sector infrastructure projects. So how will she pay? Well, she's proposed raising taxes on the rich, on the 1%, and closing business loopholes, a little bit vaguer there. But there's another way to pay for infrastructure, and that is simply to borrow the money. And it should be said here that the case for infrastructure spending right now is sort of a triple play. The U.S. will have to build its bridges and roads and repair them eventually, so you might as well do it when it's cheap to borrow now, when. There are still parts of the country where an alarming number of men still are out of work, and you could put them to work with government funding, win number two. And finally, people want to raise wages, and government investment in this industry could raise wages. So it is truly a win-win-win case.
And Donald Trump has promised to spend twice as much as Hillary Clinton on infrastructure. What's his plan?
That's right. His plan calls for twice the amount of spending, which could be a very good thing, although it probably has about half the specificity in terms of paying for it. Neither candidate, to be honest, is altogether that clear on exactly how to pay for these several hundred billion dollars. Trump in particular, though, it should be said, has said that he would be willing to deficit finance this or to create infrastructure bonds to essentially ask Americans to lend the government money and then the government pays them back. Plus interest a few years later. So certainly in this respect, Trump is not a typical Republican.
We heard both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump mention the word railways. Now, the GOP's platform this year called for ending all federal funding of mass transit, saying that it serves only a small portion of the population concentrated in six big cities. How does what Trump's talking about fit into the Republican platform?
Well, it doesn't really. Donald Trump was born in one of those six cities. He still lives in one of those big six cities, New York City. But the fact is that his plan does not really fit into the Republican platform at all. The GOP has railed against the stimulus. It railed against infrastructure spending after the stimulus was passed. House Republicans have blocked the Obama administration's repeated attempts to pass even smaller infrastructure measures. So Trump, once again, is not in this case a typical Republican. That insight is not going to win me any sort of journalistic award, but he's basically a big government Republican. He's a bit of an old-fashioned Republican, maybe an Eisenhower Republican when it comes to infrastructure.
Why, Derek, and as you've looked into this issue, and we've talked to you about infrastructure before, why has it become so political?
It's a hard question. Eisenhower's Highway Act was one of the biggest infrastructure projects in American history. He was a Republican president. That was only 60, 70 years ago. But in the last three decades or so, the Republican Party, and particularly this conservative wing in the Congress, in the House, has become religiously opposed to basically any dime of additional government spending on anything, on research and development, on infrastructure. Anything really except for the military. And so they've essentially left it to state governments to fund this stuff. But as we all saw in 2007 through 2010, state governments got absolutely pummeled by the Great Recession. And as a result, they essentially put things like infrastructure on the back burner. So what's needed right now are plans, are proposals to make up for the fact that we've missed some prime years to repair all these elements of infrastructure that both Clinton Clinton and Trump talked about.
Well, and it's interesting when you compare what's happening in this country to what's happening in other countries. We're going to hear tomorrow about a huge rail project that's going on in London to connect the western part all the way to the eastern part. They're doing it very quickly and for not that much money comparatively. But do you expect that the stuff that we're hearing from Clinton and Trump will actually happen?
I don't, as long as we have Republicans controlling the Congress. You know, it should be said that Trump is also proposing similarly outlandish infrastructure projects, like that big, beautiful wall that he talks about along the southern border. But at this point, infrastructure essentially remains in the realm of illusion when it comes to government finance. You have the president, you have Hillary Clinton, and now you have Donald Trump. The one thing they seem to agree on, the one thing they seem to sing in unison, is that we need hundreds of billions of dollars more infrastructure spending, but we're not going to get it as long as Republicans control the Congress.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.